A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Hear me, O islands, listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain, and for nothing uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord. My recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb. That Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, and my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The Word of the Lord. I will sing of your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. I will sing of your salvation. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress. O my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. I will sing of your salvation. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength. I will sing of your salvation. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Until the present I proclaim your wondrous deeds. I will sing of your salvation. The Lord be with you. The Gospel according to John. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, Master, who is it? Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it. So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do quickly. Now none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, Buy what we need for the feast, or to give something to the poor. So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you. Simon Peter said to him, Master, where are you going? Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later. Peter said to him, Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me 3 times. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's reading from the Gospel is John 13, verses 21 to 33 and 36 to 38. The scene is the Last Supper. Reclining at table, we are told that Jesus is deeply troubled. Now this would seem understandable, as Jesus knows the religious leaders are plotting his death, and he has prophesied about what is coming. But is this the only reason he is troubled? What he next says probably indicates the true source for his emotional discomfort. He says, Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Remember, this is Jesus. He always puts others before himself. We see this in the garden when he tells the guards to leave his apostles alone, that he is the one they want. It is the coming betrayal that immediately distresses him. While the assembly will question, he knows full well who he is. He quickly points out the betrayer by taking a morsel of the bread, dipping it, and handing it to Judas. Is the bread consecrated? Is this Holy Communion to intinction? Our Lord tells his friends, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. That's John 13, verse 20. Christ is generous with his saving gifts, and yet we must be disposed to his presence. The Church tells us that while the Eucharist can bring a share in the mercy and life of Christ, if a person is ill-disposed, then it can convict us before God. No matter if it is the sacrament or not, the Lord here is extending himself to Judas, and his response is betrayal. Simon Peter nods to the beloved disciple, who is generally known to be John, and he leans against the chest or the heart of Jesus, asking the identity of the betrayer. Note that it is Peter who really wants to know, or maybe who has to know. He is well aware of his own weakness, and such will be realized when in fear he will deny Christ 3 times. The posture of John is one who shares the Lord's sorrow. He will be the one apostle to follow Jesus to the hill of Calvary. While Judas will flee the scene, John is drawn to Christ in love. This scene may be more poignant than many realize. It has been theorized that John was not originally the beloved disciple. Our Lord is particularly drawn to the weak, the poor, the suffering, the afflicted, and to sinners. Who among them is the most broken and vulnerable? We are told in yesterday's reading about the supper in Bethany that Judas is a thief. This truth would be fully realized when he would trade the Savior's life for the price of silver. Why is Jesus troubled? Could it be that Judas is among the most loved of his apostles? He knows he is dishonest and wants to force his hand. We are not privy to all their conversations and all the times of bonding and fellowship. Judas is one of the 12. How difficult it must have been to allow Satan to enter him when he has delivered so many others. While the providence of God is what it is, Judas makes his choices and closes himself to the intervention of the Lord. He could have repented as Peter would. Instead, he is on the course to despair and death. Our Lord weeps in the garden, but I suspect the weeping begins here. He loves Judas, but Judas does not love him enough in return. Our Lord leaves little in the way of hope for Judas, saying that it would have been better had he never been born. The providence of God has never been so mysterious. And yet, with his prophecy of the passion and death, there is a glimmer of hope for Peter, who would deny him 3 times. Jesus says, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." The tragedy of sin would have us all play the part of the traitor. But let us be like Peter and not Judas. Peter is swayed by fear, but love would bring him back to Jesus and merit for him a share in eternal life. During this coronavirus, we are also tempted by fear. Maybe it has caused us to be selfish or angry or afraid. Like Peter, we can come back to the Lord and affirm the one who has conquered sin and the grave. Stay safe. Keep the faith.